Alrighty, hey, what's up, guys? This is it's Joe, it's me. I'm here. I'm back in Cleveland. I was in New Zealand for a little. I guess you'd call it a vacation. Maybe not. A vacation that comes immediately to mind. Did a lot of excuse me. Did a lot of hiking. A lot of driving. Probably drove around 4,000 miles over the course of a month. Hiked a whole bunch of different trails. It mostly turned. I'd planned this trip for a long time. And I'd planned on many, many, like back to back to back multi-day hiking, like 3, 4 nights out in a row. excuse me, but when it was funny, once I started to hike around, I only wanted to spend like 1 or 2 nights in one city or one trail or one spot, and then move on and drive on and drive on. You ain't seen nothing. All right, it's a little Johnny Cash. All right, so yeah, I wanted to drive on and see other places. So I was really excited for that. And that just kind of took me by surprise. So my trip kind of changed a lot from my itinerary because it was a strong pull on my being, my heart, my wishes, my desires, I guess you'd simply call it, to do other stuff. So it was interesting. Tech side, sorry if the recording's a little funny. My computer is in for repair, so I'm just using my phone. I did a few tests. It sounded okay to me. Maybe a little echoey, but I think we're okay. So maybe this one will be a touch shorter, so I don't have to bear through all of it. But well, actually, I'm leaving ahead of my brother's pretty soon, so that's really the time constraint. I'll go as long as I can on this. I don't care how it sounds. Not true. But anyways, so I had this cool idea. I thought it was a cool idea, and I ran it by a couple people, and they were like, "Yeah, that sounds neat." So that was enough for me to kind of get going and kind of do this as long as it feels right, and I have time for it, and I want to make time for it, but also I don't want to turn it into something just to do. Anyways, but I wanted the point is I wanted to so I kept 2 different journals depending on the level of tech I was able to have around me. And analog I was able to have around me. So I wrote in a notebook and I also used, I journaled on my phone, different thoughts. It wasn't every day, but different thoughts that were going through that day that I kind of wanted to share or remember or just needed to decompress. So that was, yeah, so I thought it'd be worth sharing because I thought there were some really cool, at least for me, and I'm assuming I'm not the only one who would benefit from hearing this, because I'm sure we all have, most of us have similar thoughts. So I wanted to share them. So there we go. Quick thing overall, I did go to New Zealand traveling solo. I usually have a good buddy, Josh, who hikes with me, but it just didn't work out with his schedule to come with. But it's all good. Hiking solo was a different adventure for sure. Different ups and downs. I learned a lot about myself, I would say, and it's just there's no one else to make decisions with, which as a someone who overthinks everything, it's always good to have some level of input. I guess that helps you judge what you feel is right. But it was just me, so I had to learn some stuff. So that was kind of cool. And I guess that was the big thing. It was kind of lonely at times, but there are a lot of other travelers who are solos or couples, but even a lot of other solo travelers. And if you don't sequester yourself, you stay at even like car campgrounds or hostels or any other campgrounds like on the trail, people in that environment usually are cool with opening up, and they're looking for people to talk to as well. So that was cool to see. It was cool to find out. So, anyways, I got to New Zealand on. Let's see. This my journal says I'm reading. So I'm starting with my analog paper journal here, and that's funny. I thought I landed the 9th of January, but this is labeled the 8th. I either got the date wrong or I was confused because they're 18 hours ahead. So it's currently I'm doing this in the afternoon evening right now. This recording. It's 4:35 right now p.m. in Cleveland, Ohio. So 18 hours ahead. What is that? 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. So I think it's 10:36 p.m. 12:04. I think it's 10:36 a.m. there on the 17th of February, and today is the 16th of February. So crazy. I mean, not really, but sort of. So, anyways, let's start this. Okay, I'm gonna start reading, And I'm gonna go. I'm already reading, and I already have commentary. But I'm just gonna read for a bit, comment for a bit, or comment first a little bit, then read as I'm reading along with you. Now this is my first time actually going through it, so I might do some odd pauses. Might not want to share every single thing, but I kind of do want to share. I don't know what I would hide at this point, but maybe just for brevity, or if there's like name specific stuff that I just don't want to share. But I don't think. I mean, maybe that's in one spot. But hey, let's quit with all these caveats and just get to it, huh? You get the gist. All right, so 1/8/2020, which is January 8th. Side note, pretty much everybody but America seems to write the day first, then the month. So 8/1/2020 for all you Europeans, Kiwis, and everybody not from us. All right, here's what I wrote. Yeah, I'll give some explanation afterwards. Okay, so Irene at the backpacker's lounge was so nice. I called to see if I could stay, and she was so cool about it. I was stressing all day to get things done. Drive, sleep, upset at mistakes, but you took care of it all, Jesus, somehow. Or no, so much. That's what I wrote. So much. And I wrote, thank you. I took some nice pics tonight outside the lounge, and I wrote the dates. And this was outside of Lake Tianu on the Edgewater. Yeah, I stayed at a place called the Backpackers Lounge, and it was like 10 o'clock at night. And there was an after hours number, and it was still light out, so it didn't feel late. But I mean, still 10 people, so relatively stick to a schedule. And I called, and Irene answered, and I'm like, "Hey, like I just got here," because I didn't really know where I was gonna stay once I landed. I could have figured it out, but things were just didn't work out that way. And she was so nice. She totally understood, and she just told me the key com to get a key for the outdoor showers and bathroom, which were really nice. As you say outdoor, you think of an outhouse, but this is basically another little house apart from the main house. So that was really cool. And they had a little area where you could just pitch tents and just do your thing, and you can go in, you can do some indoor plumbing, and that was great. So Irene was so nice. Thank you, Irene, if you ever hear this. And the Backpackers Lounge in Tianu. That was pretty cool. Just so I know, the Backpackers Lounge was probably one of the best hostels I stayed in. It was, yeah, aside from the staff being awesome, there's indoor places too you could stay at. I did not. I just used my tent. But the lounge area was, loungy, fine. Just had some books. Places to sit. Had a fireplace. Too hot to use when I was there. It was summer. Oh, the kitchen area was sweet. I mean, there's like four, no, I think like five or six stoves. Plenty of dishware. Lots of space to move around between the refrigerator, the dry food store, pantry for everyone's food. And that was my first time actually staying at a hostel. I didn't even realize you would call that a hostel. I just heard a bad rap from it. They don't have a necessarily good connotation, so I was like, okay. But pretty much, I guess the classification of a hostel is you got a bunch of people that stay in one room, kind of like a big dorm, like 6 to 10 people, 4 to 10 people, and yeah, everything is kind of communal living. It's just communal living with strangers, and depending on the vibe of the place, every place I stayed. Minus one throughout my trip, felt like everyone's gonna respect each other. We're all here for the same purpose. Like no one's, and like worst case scenario, someone steals your food. Like I did buy a beer and like a bottled beer. I did put in the fridge. And I'm like, I wonder how long this will last. But no one stole it, so that was cool. I was only there one night too. Not much opportunity. Anyway, side note. Yeah. So Irene was sweet. Backpackers Lounge was sweet. That was the day after the day that I landed. 'Cause I landed in Queenstown. And I drove 2 hours, got the car, drove on the other side of the road. That was a brain trip after flying for 28 hours. But managed, just took it real slow. Funny note though, actually. Oh yeah, so hold on before I get there. So yeah, I went to Queenstown, drove 2 hours to Tianu. I'm not sure if I'm saying that exactly right. Tianu, whatever. And yeah, found that place, and it was cool. So, okay, so the next morning, this isn't in my journal yet, but the next morning was funny. I was starting the Kepler, it's called the Kepler Great Walk, And it was a relatively short first day, so I was taking my time actually getting to the start of the trailhead of the track. And I just felt this pull. I don't know how to explain it. I felt this pull, like divine, from God, spiritually, relationally, with things that were going on. Maybe my brain was just moving slow, but this pull just to, it's like, it felt like something was telling me to stay longer at the lounge place at the Edgewater Drive and just sit, relax, and just enjoy the water, enjoy this lake, just enjoy where you are right now instead of trying to enjoy the next thing. And that is like two things that I learned a lot. You can't enjoy where you are now if you're trying to prep yourself to enjoy the next thing. Because then once you get to the next thing, you're trying to prep yourself to get to do or enjoy the thing after that. It's like you never really have a time to catch your breath and enjoy now, the present. Now. You just don't. And I'll have to learn this a lot, I think. It's not a one-time thing, but definitely felt a pull just to stay, and literally like a hook to keep me there a little bit longer, and to not stress out. So not to feel angst about trying to do the next thing. Overall, the whole trip, that was one thing I think I really learned. I feel like God showed me. That's kind of the way I look at it. It's absolutely the way I look at it. It just felt that strong. It felt that divine. Whether the whole, you know where I stand with that. Whoever you want to say speaks to you, yourself, God. Not in arguing that right now. But or maybe ever. But I get distracted so easily. So I just when I say literally, okay. See, like two things come to my mind at once. All right, I gotta stop caveating everything because I just then derail my thinking. All right, one thing I learned overall: just have peace. You don't need to feel stress in order to think you're successful. I guess I do that. Like only when I'm stressed out do I deem anything as like, okay, now that was worth it. Because I associate stress with hard work and I'm really pushing myself towards it, but a certain type or amount of stress is kind of a sign of like, all right, you're at your limit or you're going too far. Yeah, I've learned, of course you can push through it. No one's questioning that. I'm not questioning that. But it definitely affects then your enjoyment of your present and how you're pulling things, not pulling things, and experiencing things, whatever's going on around you. So that's one thing I learned overall. I could probably elaborate on that more later. The second thing, when I said literally a hook was stopping me, I already had this like feeling in my chest and my heart, and then I'm pulling away from the backpackers lounge in my rental car, and they have these like so the quote unquote parking spots, it was like a gravel, dirtish kind of that tan dirt, stony, parking lot. Probably held about 4 to 8 cars on each side, and the things that separate the parking spots are basically like handrails, like that size of thick pieces of wood, and they were hammered down with just like long spikes, kind of like lag bolts or something, but like spikes on the end. Maybe they didn't have spikes on the end. Maybe they're just like lag bolts, like someone hammered into the ground to keep the handrails there, and like. I don't know how it wasn't I apparently it was there last night but I didn't notice, but one of the lag bolts, the spikes, it was up like almost out of the ground, and some I don't know how this happened, somehow it got stuck, it passed the bumper, got stuck underneath the bumper, and there was like this plastic shielding, on the front of the car, on the undercarriage to protect it from, wind, rain, elements of the road. And this hook got stuck in there, and it totally kind of like shredded the underground, the undergirding, that plastic shielding. And I was just like, you have got to be kidding me. So this thing, so I'm like pulling away. It's making this weird sound. It's kind of like awful, just like, I guess it's like a scraping sound. And I'm just like, what is that? You know? So I get out and I see this hook, and now this handrail thing is like, all convoluted. I've been dragging it, and I almost dragged it. If I gave it gas, it would have dragged through the front of the bumper because I was going in reverse when I was backing out, and that somehow it caught, and I was turning at the same time, so it was weird. And if I were to hit the gas, it would have ripped a hole. It probably would have ripped the whole front bumper off, to be honest, because those things, it was a small car, like the smallest Toyota they had at the rental company. And it probably would have ripped the bumper off, or at least done some heavy damage, which that would have sucked to pay for, because I didn't get the included insurance. You don't have to, and so, but that would have been $2,000 out of my pocket if I really screwed that up. But New Zealand, $2,000, so it's like 1,600 U.S. 1,500, 1,500. It's two thirds, whatever that is. So can't do math right now. Yeah, 700, 1,400. All right, we're gonna keep going. But so like that was this feeling. I was like, Jesus, you're like literally keeping me here. Like, so that just, maybe that was a good thing. It helped me keep my eyes open for the rest of the day, the rest of the trip, probably on a lot of levels, to pay attention, to hear, to see what God is doing next, where God is, where the flow is. That's another thing I learned a lot. Like, life is flow. I mean, a lot of people from a lot of different faith traditions have said like life is kind of like a river, and like I felt that a lot more through this trip, and I don't see why it would change back to a day-to-day daily grind, go to work. It just would look different. I'm guessing. I'm not sure yet. I'm still kind of riding the high of coming back, so haven't started work yet. But yeah, and like it's good to plan. We need to plan. I'm not saying I'm definitely still saying to plan, but life is weird. Like, one of my prayers was help me to live in right relationship with everything. Like energy, paying attention, energy flow. Like, it seems like everything is alive on some level, and there's like this relationship. I know that might sound weird and strange, but just keep listening, and it might make sense. So, yeah, that was one of my prayers. And like sometimes, like, okay, so planning is great, and kind of just listening, seeing, waiting, hearing, perceiving what might be next is really good and needed. And at different times in life, I would guess, at this point, I would say sure of, but I feel like I'm never sure of anything at this point. In a good way, in a learning way, hopefully. Sometimes the percentage of going with the flow might be 10% and planning is 90%. And maybe the next hour or the next day or the next week, whatever, it's like going with the flow's got to be like 90, 95%, and planning is 10% or 5%. Like, we want to make a hard and fast rule of like, how much do I plan? How much do I just kind of see what happens? Do like, and how much do I perceive? How much do I wait? How much do I force things to happen? That's always changing. I know I need to be more aware of that, conscious of it, perceptive of it. So, that was a big overall thing that I learned. That was pretty cool. So, yeah, we're 20 minutes in here, roughly, and I think we have time for one more day. I don't think it's super long. And so we'll see what happens. So at this point, this is the 10th of January, so the next day. Well, I said the last one was the 8th. I really think that was the 9th. So this is the 10th of January, the next day. I remember, so I started the Kepler. I think I started around the Rainbow Park lot or whatever. Parked the car there, I guess. I can't remember. And then I just hiked. I think it was only a 4-hour day, but I remember I didn't eat yet that day because I didn't do anything active, and I like to only eat when I'm active, as much as I can. And but So I was like feeling like really dead tired. I was just like every step was really hard. So there was this like control gate area because it was over a river, and I guess so the river doesn't flood the lake, which actually did happen before I left New Zealand. I wasn't there at that one place, but there was some bad flooding there, destroyed some stuff. But anyways, here's what I wrote: "Thank you for the break and food by the control gate. I didn't know I needed that." That was it. pretty it. But it hit me enough to be like, dang, I really needed that. The thought that I had behind this, I think, was I kind of didn't plan on this, but apparently, with going a little slower, enjoying where you are, enjoying the present, without trying, not planning so much for the future that you miss the present. I didn't know how much I needed that rest at the control gate, and that was huge. That's something also that I tried and did and to take with me throughout the trip, and I will do it when I'm back here. I'm sure, it won't be perfect, of course. I'm not trying to say it's gonna be amazing all the time, but I will do that. I need to know when I almost need to take rest before I realize I need rest. It's almost like living by a clock or a routine in a way before you like kind of crash. Once you crash, things are a little too late, you know what I'm saying? So that was 110. That's about January 10th. So that's about it. And so we'll move on to this. Okay, this is 112, so 2 days later. At this point, as I'm reading it, I would have, let's see, I would have finished the Kepler. And I remember it was raining this day. And so I drove from the Kepler to the start of the Hollyford, to a campsite near the beginning of the Hollyford track. Man, in my mind's eye, they're really close. But now that I'm trying to picture the map, so Hollyford is up north on the road leading to Milford Sound. And I believe the Kepler must be further south below. Yeah, okay. Yeah, the Kepler starts kind of near Tianu, and the Hollyford, start of the Hollyford is closer to, it's about 2 hours away, roughly. North on the only road that goes that way. So, it was raining that day. I think I was going to start the next day. So I would have started the 13th probably. I'm going forward. So the next journal entry should be the 14th. Yeah, so we'll just read here and assume this is all going to make sense. And we'll go from there. So there's a campsite before the Hollyford, like I said, and that's where I stayed. So remember, it had been raining all day, so I was really thankful for this place because I slept under a roof. It was a dorm style. It wasn't a hostel. It was like this weird eclectic campsite. It was cool, but just like these are people like off the grid. Like let me tell you, like they had signs all over. Like it's almost like super conservative, like America, like stay out in the boonies, like fend for yourself, do everything yourself. Like it's all self-sufficiency. Sorry for if you live on the boonies and hear this, no insult. Just trying to get a feel for this place. Just an eclectic group of stuff. Old things for, well, I'll get to it. We'll just read it. So, stayed at gun camp. Really neat place. Wash basin. I did laundry in a wash basin where it actually had the roller. So like, you do your clothes, you put the soap in there, swish, swish, wash, wash, rinse, rinse, and then you roll it out and then you hang your clothes up. So, used that because some things smelled pretty bad and I had the time. I met Jordan and Alicia from Sydney. We talked for a while over dinner. He was really nice and kind. It was cool to meet them. Not sure what to do today. The weather is gloomy. Don't really want. Oh, so this would have been. Yeah, so it was raining the 11th, then this is the 12th. The weather is gloomy. Don't really want to do Hollyford, but my Rootburn isn't available for a while. So the next track I was going to do is the Root Burn Great Walk, and you have to book these campsites. It's just a campsite, but you have to book them so far in advance. And the weather was just pretty crappy, and I was nervous that I couldn't do the Root Burn because I had nowhere to stay, obviously, because campsites would have been full, or the camp warden would have been like, move along, you know? So that's the deal there. So the weather is gloomy. Didn't really want to do Holyford, but my Root Burn isn't for a while. Do I drive back to Tianu, which is 2 hours away, to the visitor center? Do I just do it? That is the Holyford. Thanks. Thinking of starting with Lake Marion and going from there. Jesus the Christ, what is on your will to do? What is your desire today? And I said, help. I gotta turn the page. Turn the page. Okay, help me to keep seeing and trusting how you're taking care of everything. Because I was seeing that up to this point. It really felt like it. I pray for my friends. And yeah, so I took that time to pray. Just wrote some people down. Lots of people, apparently. A lot of people are on my mind. Oh, even those people. That's cool. So I'm still going. Lots of people from all walks of life. From Cleveland to BG to college, from old church. Wow, cool. All right, sweet. A lady that I met, Loretta, on the trail at the Kepler yesterday. She was from Canada. She was really cool. I actually ran into her several other times later on throughout the trip. That was pretty neat. And that was definitely a godsend too. It's like a confirmation of like, I don't know, confirmation is a good word and not complete for what I'm trying to describe. It was a reminder that like God's like, yeah, of course I'm here. What you're doing is right. Yeah, it was very, very comforting. So thank you, God and Loretta. Yeah, Loretta's from Canada and a bird lady. I talked to her. She was into birds. All right. Still praying for people, I guess. The staff at Gunn. Thank you for their kindness and helpfulness. I pray for some kind of internet to plan for today, because once you drive out of Tianu about 20 to 30 minutes, there's no internet. There's no cell. You can't do anything. And so it's really hard to then plan the next leg. I mean, I had a plan, but I wanted to change things up because the weather was not cool. And I was like, crap, I can't really do anything. So, I prayed for some kind of internet to plan today, check bookings and rearrange stuff. Because that's what I wanted to do. I wanted to do the Root Burn. I'd want to change the bookings if I could, but I couldn't because it was full. And that's fine. But, okay, I mean that was the f so that was the 10th. Oh no, sorry. What did I say? The 12th. That was the 12th. Which would have been the day after I finished Kepler. All right, a couple notes. The Kepler overall was really good. Really good hike. It was super, not super, pretty windy and foggy in the highest alpine sections, which it was still really nice to see, but would have been a totally different view. And much, much better view if the weather was nice. But apparently it rains in the Fiordlands, which is kind of southwest, south of New Zealand, 250 days a year. So it's going to be cloudy a lot and rainy. So I guess that's just to be expected. So I finished the Kepler was cool, and then I remember this day I did end up hiking in the. It was just kind of drizzly and gloomy. I did go up to Lake Marion. It was 3 hour there and back. It was nice. It was cool. You got up to the lake and it was still cloudy. It was a nice lake with a mountain like right on the edge of the far side of the lake. I have some photos, but it was. Just it was gloomy. You know, it is gloomy. You're hiking in a drizzle. You're like, nothing seems amazing, you know, right then and there. So, but it was cool. I'm not sure what I did the next day for my journal entry. Does not continue then until the 14th. I think I ended up staying at a campsite that night. I'm reading the 14th. I'm going to pause and start a new episode starting with the 14th because I kind of want to combine. I looked ahead a little bit. I have some analog entries and some digital entries on my phone. And since I'm on my phone right now, I'm gonna wait till my computer's back, so, or find some other device so I can read from the digital and analog version. And we will see which. I'll try and determine which one I wrote first. Maybe I went back and forth. Who knows? But just reading a little bit from the 14th. So the 12th or 13th, I stayed at a campsite. I remember just feeling pretty gloomy that day. Because I feel like all my plans were going to shit, and I felt stuck at this point. It took me a while to realize this, but I felt stuck in Tianu, and I was like, "WTF, man! Like, I thought I could do stuff, and now I can't." And I remember doing so much driving back and forth to be like, "What can I do now? It's raining, but I needed internet. I needed to look around more because I didn't know what was right around me, and I didn't just." Kind of want to do stuff just to do it. I kind of wanted to do it and see some good things, you know, sights and mountains and rivers, or mostly mountains and in good weather. And if I did it in the bad weather, I wasn't going to do it again, most likely. And so yeah, I just felt stuck. I was doing like all this driving. I was just frustrated. So that sucked, but everything worked out amazing. So I'm gonna call this one a wrap. This is New Zealand Journal Part 1. Maybe there's a subtitle, maybe not. Maybe you'll just have to listen to it. If I think of something for this subtitle, I'll do it. So sweet. All right. Well, hey. Hope you're getting something out of this. Hope you can jive with some things. Hope it speaks to you. And just so you know, I was traveling. I returned February 15th, maybe 16th, something like that. And yeah, I think it was the 15th at 8 o'clock. I landed in CLE. That's Cleveland, Ohio. Yeah, so there's quite a bit of journals entries. There'll probably be, I don't know though. I didn't like journal every single day, so there might be. I'm guessing between like, I actually have no idea. Between 3 to 10 episodes based around this New Zealand Journal stuff. So we'll just and I don't know how much I want to commentate on it. So we will see where this goes, but I feel like this is a good thing, kind of fun. And that's it. And that's all, folks. Glad you're here. And peace out. Bye. Oh, wait, one more thing. I just want to add the people in New Zealand overall were really kind. I feel like they're a lot nicer, and less. I feel like the culture was less of a rush, less hurry, more chill, and I feel like that led to kind of better interpersonal communication, to use a more formal term. But a less formal term would just be friendly. I feel like people were much friendlier to each other, to strangers. Granted, I talked to a lot of people who were also on holiday. As everyone else in the world seems to call it, Americans call it vacation. And but even the workers at like gas stations or stores, depending on their age, young kids are still young kids, and you still got jerks and a-holes here and there. But overall, there's definitely a like, I see you. Like, what's going on, man? I know we're talking for a very short time, but that doesn't mean our short interaction needs to be unmeaningful. So, that was cool. And that was pretty, common. So that was sweet. Yeah, I just wanted to mention that. All right, now, oh, so I wanted, that came to mind because as I was saying bye, it's just being in New Zealand, being solo, it forced you to talk to people. Not that I had trouble talking with people, but like, I wanted the inflections of my speech to be positive from the start. So, and my finishing, like my bye. Like when I said bye, like I want there to be like, there's life, like I want there to be life in every word, in every conversation. And 90% of that isn't, I really hope isn't what you say, but how you say it. It's almost like all of communication is how you say it. Like 99%, not what you say. And I was. Yeah, it's something I will remember and want to integrate more in my life. So, that's what my previous and first goodbye led me to think. So now here's the second and possibly final goodbye. All right. Love you all. Maybe. Probably. Yeah, I do. Okay.